Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning we have Trey Gwynn in studio with us today from the Rutherford County Library System. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great this morning. How are you?
I'm good. A little warm out there in the past couple of days. Weeks.
Yeah, and I think we probably still have weeks left of that too. So
I think so. I was just thinking the other day, man, I would hate to dress up in one of those costumes whenever those special book shows up at the library. It would be hot.
Yeah. When Bluey comes to visit, I think the person... Bluey needs to say cool is what I'll say. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but thankfully a lot of what we do is inside, which makes it a lot easier.
A lot more bearable.
Yeah.
You know, my grandkids were still talking about Bluey actually yesterday.
They were
talking about Bluey, and when was the last time Bluey visited?
The last time I know of was Free Comic Book Day, but there may have been a time between then and now.
Well, it was the time before that that they went.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But yeah, obviously Bluey stuck with them.
They
have a place in their heart for Bluey.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that my five-year-old doesn't speak with an Australian accent at this point.
That's funny. I could see kids picking up on that, watching Bluey. Anyway, so what else is happening besides talking about Bluey?
I'm here to talk today about a new newsletter that we're launching, but I feel like we would be bearing the lead if we didn't at least mention that the Rutherford County Library System has a new director. She hasn't started yet. She'll start at the end of this month, but her name is Lou Ann James. We're really excited to finally have a director moving forward, and Mindy from next door over at Linebaugh has done a great job as the interim, and we really appreciate the work that she's done, but we're very excited to have Lou Ann come and get to work. And I will even parlay that into the newsletter thing. So we're relaunching our newsletter, which has been fallow for the last couple of years. But if you want to get to know Lou Ann a little bit, sign up for the newsletter, because the very first newsletter will have a little interview with her in it.
You know, something positive I've noticed over the years at the library directors like Rita Shacklett, you know, there for years. And you guys really have a good track record of that, of those who the director is there literally for years and years.
Yeah. Well, and Rita in particular, you know, she was there for years before she was director.
And she was
there for years. So hopefully Miss James will continue that trend, because I think Rita was only the fourth director we've ever had. So fingers crossed that Lou Ann will have a long career with us.
Well, I think it says a lot about an organization when the same leadership is in place 10, 15, 20 years at a time. I mean, it shows that they enjoy doing what they do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I tell people all the time, I do a lot of like career days as the outreach person. I do a lot of career days at like schools and stuff. And one of the pre-interview questions that the kids are given to ask us is, what do we like about our job? And I always say that the main thing, the only thing I do is help people. And that makes me really happy. And that's all we do at the library is help people or set things up to help people.
Do you foresee yourself being the director of the library system at some point?
Oh, me? No. I've gone down the management path before and did not enjoy it. So I'm happy to just kind of keep doing my own thing. Plus, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but my background is, I have a master's in history. You have to have an MLS or MLIS to be the director. So I would have to go back to school, and I am not interested in doing that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. Yeah. School, it's for me, it was like pulling teeth and fingernails.
Yeah. I crawled across the finish line, so I'm not sure I would go back.
It's like a marathon that kept going and never ended.
Yeah.
For those listening and who are not familiar with the library, to get in, you don't have to have some special membership.
No.
Just stop by anytime, but to check out a book, that's a different story.
You do
need a library card.
Yeah, and we have slowly been increasing the amount of stuff that you can do if you don't have a card, because we know that, you know, not everybody's a permanent resident, and we're a college town, so there's a lot of college students that aren't here permanently, you know, and stuff like that. So, and not everybody's interested in having a library card, but, you know, you can still come in and use our computers and stuff like that without the library card. We don't want there to be a barrier to people using what we have to offer them, you know. But yeah, once you have that library card, it unlocks everything, you know, books, the Library of Things.
Get you out of speeding tickets.
Well, I don't know about that.
No kidding.
I don't know. You might
try it.
When they ask for your license and registration, include the library card in there just to see if.
How about this, officer?
No promises on that one.
Try it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't hurt.
Let us know how it works. At the library, Do you have a lot of college, because, you know, I know MTSU's library is huge as well, but do you have a lot of college students who come there?
We do. I mean, it's a modest number, and I don't know it off the top of my head, but you're right. They've got a Walker Library right there, but we offer some stuff that they might not. I know a lot of college students use the Tech, because it's such a great place to have a meeting or a study session or something like that. And while Walker has 3D printers and stuff like that, they are always being used. Whereas the Tech, you know, you might be able to use one of our 3D printers or something a little more easily, because there's not always a super long line to use them.
When I was in college years and years and years ago, mm-hmm. I remember I would sometimes go to the library to just get away from everything around, you know, just a quiet place to do work and stuff.
Yeah, there's not a ton of quiet places on a college campus.
There's really not, no. But I would also go there to the library to, this is crazy, to use the internet, you know, because I didn't have internet.
in the
dorm, my first year there, because I stayed on campus ever.
I think my freshman year, I went to Lipscomb up in Nashville. My freshman year was one of the first years they had Wi-Fi in the dorms.
It's high tech right there.
I was not far removed from what you're talking about.
It's hard to imagine, because today college students, you know, they've got the internet everywhere, Wi-Fi, everything everywhere. High tech, at least I didn't have such high tech facilities back then. What's changed?
I mean, it's wild what has changed in the last 20-30 years, you know,
and really pretty quickly. I mean, when you look at the how technology has evolved, it has evolved fast.
And I mean, that's one of the challenges of the library, right? Is what does a library look like in a post-internet world, right? And that's why you see a lot of variation in what we offer, because libraries have expanded what we offer. Well, a perfect example is the Library of Things that the Tech has, the Technology Engagement Center, where if you need a specific type of tool or one of these ring lights like you have in your studio here, we have those at the Tech, and you can check them out just like you would a book.
That's
using
wild.
Your library card.
Okay.
You know, and that's a post-internet innovation, because we needed to diversify and change how we, and when I say we, I mean the library industry, not just the Rutherford County Library System.
You're not calling the shots for all libraries across the country.
No, but I just mean, you know, we are not, this is not some sort of crazy innovation on our part. Like, this is something that the whole library industry is doing, you know.
Isn't it wild how so many libraries across the country are literally doing a lot of the same things, but they're all changing, and they're not what they used to be at all.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite things about the library, though, is that we're not fighting for the same dollars, right? So, like, if the Nashville Library is doing something cool, or if the Grundy County Library is doing something cool, we can email them and be like, hey, tell us about your program, because they're not going to be precious about it, because they have the same goal that we do, and that is just help people. And my first career was in museums. I used to work at the Hermitage, and we couldn't call up Bell Mead and be like, tell us about your program, because we're fighting for the same dollars, right? So that's one of my favorite things about the library, is that if somebody's doing something cool, they want you to copy that at your library. There's excitement there, right?
Yeah, that's pretty neat. You know, I never even thought about that, but it makes sense for libraries to kind of be working together in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's a very collaborative field. There's not a whole lot of, there's not as much competitiveness, which is really nice.
Where do you see AI fitting into the library system in the future, and how does that fit in now?
It is an interesting question, and it is an interesting question as far as, like, how do we evolve alongside AI? We already have rudimentary AIs that will help people pick out books, or you can actually sign up at Lineball for a personalized book recommendation. And those are using very rudimentary versions of the AIs that we're seeing all over the place. My thing with AI, it is a tool just like any other technology, right? And so it comes down to how we use it. I think the current version of AI is great for automating stuff. If we at the library can use it to automate how we help people or how we get stuff out to people, it'll be a wonderful tool. It'll be really interesting to see. I think it'll be a long, long time before we see, like, the first AI-generated book or something like that end up in the library.
You know, I've noticed on social media, you know, you have those folks who just kind of troll social media and try to make outlandish comments and stuff. But I've noticed for news organizations out there, you've got those who comment on every news story. Now, AI wrote that. Oh, that's an AI story.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to tell the difference if you're reading, you know, be it a newsletter, news story, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's funny how everybody automatically jumps to, oh, AI wrote that. That's not real.
Well, it particularly bothers me because usually they're making those comments if the grammar and punctuation are correct.
You're right about that. Yeah.
And I'm not brilliant at grammar, but I try to get my punctuation correct. And so I've had stuff that I've written be called AI, and I'm just like, but it's all just because I used good punctuation and stuff like that. But yeah, it's fascinating because it's almost like a new, the word I want to use is witch hunt, but that's more charged than I mean for it to be. But it's like the new thing where it's like, well, like when Photoshop, right? Yeah. When you know, every picture was Photoshop for a while on the internet, right?
Oh, yeah, everybody, that's fake. That's not real. Yeah.
And so now everything is AI.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. It is kind of disturbing how people, you know, oh, it's written correctly. Oh, the period's in the right place.
Yeah.
The robot wrote that one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a conspiracy theory automatically.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and what's funny is that these AI generated like news articles and stuff, that some of the bigger companies have been using that for forever, you know.
Yeah.
it's just that we now, AI is available to the general public, and so the general public is thinking about it now, you know.
I read a recent article that I think was written by a real person, not AI.
you never know.
It was talking about how they took a group of high school teachers, and you had certain students who wrote their actual report, then you had other students who used AI, and this was known going into this study, but the teachers, they couldn't specifically put their finger on what kind of led them to believe AI wrote it, but yet something wasn't quite right, or at least didn't feel the same way versus, you know, the AI version versus the actual student version. But they were talking about how it just, there's not enough heart in it on the AI version.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's interesting that you say that, because I don't think I could pick up on that in something that was written, but I definitely see it in AI art. Like those AI generated images, there's just something missing. Like there's just something missing. The human element is missing somehow. I can't put it into words, but I think if you gave me a lineup, I could be like, okay, well, this one is AI and this one was made by a person.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. When you look at certain pictures, for some reason, they're blaringly obvious in some way.
Yeah.
You know, that's AI. The eyes don't look right, or the thing, something very small,
or it's too weirdly shiny, or it's just, there's just something about it that you can tell, but with the writing, it's a lot harder to tell, I think.
Like, I agree, because the pictures, like every picture is done in a studio, but yet it's outdoors. I think it's going to get harder though over the years to recognize what's written or a picture done by AI versus a real picture taken, a real word written, a real story written.
I hope that there are people way smarter than me that are thinking about how to not to shut down AI, because obviously I think it could be a very useful tool, but to regulate. Well, because like right now, if you go to OpenAI or ChatGPT and you type in, I want to see a celebrity doing this, they'll say, no, you can't use a celebrity, right? Like, but there are less scrupulous AIs out there that'll let you put in politicians or celebrities. And then we're just going to, as it gets better, we're going to end up with people being completely convinced that, I don't know, one of our politicians can sing on the Grand Old Opry. I saw a video of that recently.
Yeah, you're right. People, man, they'll believe anything to some extent. But AI is good for research. And again, to a certain extent, it's good for research. But I could see where that would really come in handy within the library using AI.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, I'm a big proponent of AI for automation, right? Like if you want to use AI to scan 1,000 books that you would never, ever, ever be able to sit and read for however many, you know, I don't know. Recently, because I'm a weirdo, recently I was thinking about how y'all has become more used outside of just the South, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about how it would be nice if I could just scan the internet to be like, oh, in 2006, all of a sudden y'all shot up in usage. Well, I mean, that's the perfect thing for AI to do is to go through and scan how often y'all is used, yeah, right?
High tech research.
Because I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to skim through every web page.
It is wild. But for research, the other cool thing about it, and this goes right along with research, is if you're reading, let's say, a law that was recently passed and the law is 10 pages long, well, you can just copy those 10 pages, throw them into AI and say, write a summary of this law.
Yeah, well, and at this point, the important thing is that as long as people are like going back and kind of, they don't have to read it word for word, but, you know, double checking to make sure that it's saying what they think it's saying. Because their AI currently does do what's called hallucination every once in a while, where it will just make something up. Like there's that lawyer. I feel like we've talked about this before. There was that lawyer that got disbarred because he used AI to write an argument and it cited two made up Supreme Court decisions, completely made up. So as long as you're double checking it, I think it's you can't generate it and then immediately send it to whoever you're working with. That won't work.
And when I said, throw 10 pages of a new law into there to say, write a summary, I was just thinking to myself that that's just, you know, if you want to learn more about that law, don't go to court.
I was just saying the important thing is that you have an intern or somebody go back and read the summary and make sure it matches, you know.
But you got to double check this stuff. You know, even if AI does it, you have to double check everything, no matter what.
I don't want us to get into a situation where AI, and this, it may be too late, the dam may have broken, I don't know. I don't want us to get in a situation where AI replaces people's jobs, you know. I'm a big fan of the idea of AI augmenting, like, as a tool for what we can do. It's just, you know, some of those AI voices are pretty amazing. I'd hate for all of a sudden WGNS's morning to be hosted by AI Scott. You know,
like, you could be there talking and just talking to a computer. I know. I'd be at home right now.
Well, and it would respond and it would sound just fine. You know, so that's the main thing I want to avoid. Not that you or I have any power to do that.
But you know, when you bring up, there's a case where a lawyer argued this in court and, you know, he put everything into AI. I think that's going to happen more, but I think that's going to happen with those who don't fully understand maybe AI or AI's capabilities. You know, I picture those who may be less computer savvy doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that guy, but I'm saying in general.
Well, I think there's two ends of the spectrum, right? There's the less computer savvy people, and then there's the people that have drunk the Kool-Aid and think that AI is just magic, right? Like, I said that I have a master's in history. My master's thesis, which unfortunately was not finished, but
was it written in AI?
No, it wasn't. Thankfully, it was long before AI. It was about the nuclear bomb, right? Yeah. And like how it affected people post World War II, and how like people thought there were legit people who thought this is the numerical technology, right? This will solve all of our problems. Every time a new technology comes along, nuclear power, AI, whatever, there are some people who are just like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the magic that will fix everything. So there will always be people who drink the Kool-Aid. But, you know, we'll see. We're still very early on in AI technically, or this version of this type of AI.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're going to see a whole lot more to come, a whole lot more changes. I think we're going to see a lot of different businesses utilize AI in different ways. And sadly, I think we're going to see some catastrophes too along the way.
Maybe. I mean, that, again, that's something that just happens with technology, right? Like somebody had to be the first person to get run over by a car.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true. And, you know, I just hope, I wonder what the medical industry, how far they're going to go using AI, because I know AI has already been implemented in the medical industry in a big degree for a lot of different things. I just wonder what's going to happen next.
Well, we're rapidly leaving my area of expertise, but I do know, I know again, the AI and it's going to, I'm going to sound dismissive when I say this, but the AI evangelists, the AI, you know, the ones that drank the Kool-Aid, right? Yeah. You know, they're out there saying, oh, if a new coronavirus or something comes along, we can have a vaccine for it in a week because of AI.
I would not take that shot.
Well, I don't even know. I don't even know if that's realistic. I worry that they're overpromising, yeah. You know? There ends my commentary because I don't know anything about medicine. I don't know anything about,
and then you have the general public. Can you imagine being that guy, that client who paid that lawyer to argue XYZ in court and that's what happens? I mean, you're messing with real lives here.
It'll be interesting to see because we're still very much in the Wild West period of AI where there's very little regulation, and there's very little guardrails, and we're still in the like, you know, this could be magic or it could be nothing phase. We'll only time will tell, which I know is kind of a cop out, but it's true.
And then at what point are folks going to have to actually pay to utilize any version of AI whatsoever? I mean, right now there are different pay levels, of course, for different programs within, you know, that are AI. But at what point is AI in general going to be, you have to pay for it?
Yeah. And then does it become, imagine that it is the miracle technology they think it is. Then they put it behind a paywall. Then you have people who are the haves and the have-nots, right? The people that have access to this miracle technology and the people that don't because of the paywall. That's...
And then the flip side of it, does that, in general, if that were the case where you have to pay to utilize AI, does that dumb down some versions of AI? Because the way AI really works and learns on its own, in a way, is by utilization and continuing usage of it.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
What happens?
Well, I mean, if we've talked about the evangelists, right, the people that drink the Kool-Aid, there are people who are on the other side of it who are, like, super anti-AI, and they would tell you that the AI is already eating its own tail because the way these AIs learn is they use these what are called LLMs, which are learning models, right? And there's only so much material on the internet, right?
Yeah.
Which I know sounds crazy, but we're talking about things that can scan the internet super fast, and then some stuff is not licensed, you know, to be scanned, you know, so you see these deals being made between places like OpenAI and Reddit, where OpenAI has licensed Reddit so to allow them to scan Reddit to use as part of their large language model or their learning language model. But the problem is, once you run out of stuff for it to scan, where do you go from there, right? And so some AIs have actually started being trained on AI generated content. And so at that point, is it like a photocopy of a photocopy?
Yeah.
You know? We're very much in the Wild West period for AI where, you know, we're not really sure how the dust will settle.
You know, there really is this scary Jim Jones side of AI, if you would, that is kind of creepy, kind of scary, because you don't know how far the human population is going to take AI and what direction they're going to head with it in the future and what they're going to do next with AI.
This is such a cliche, but like, or is this Skynet, you know, is this the beginning of something like the Terminator, you know, or the Matrix or something like that? It's
a little creepy times, you know, it's just strange, I guess.
Well, and you know, programs like Canva and other programs are offering AI programs that will, or AI add additions that will like make an AI generated presenter for your presentation, and it'll be more than just a voice. It'll be like a little floating torso and head talking down in the corner, and it looks completely real, you know.
And now companies are going online and they're buying these AI generated, like you were talking, like people, if you would, giving a speech to the whole company about human resources and things to do and how to do it, and you know, it's getting odd very quickly.
Well, and just think, you know, I mean, like there are celebrities who have licensed their name and likeness to companies. So, you know, we could 100 years from now, we could be getting commercials from Snoop Dogg, who's been dead for 90 years, yeah. You know?
Yeah, why is Tom Cruise giving this essay right now?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no telling what's going to happen in the future. So back to the library situation. do you have designated AI computers for people doing research?
No, I mean, many of the AIs that people at the library would be using are web-based. And so as long as we have internet and a web browser, they can get to it.
So the newsletter that is...
AI generated. I'm writing every word of it.
So that is going back out. It was it on pause for a while?
Well, the person that used to coordinate the newsletter was Carol Gaddis, who was our branch manager over at Lineball. But then, a cascade of things happened. Rita retired, Carol retired, then Rita retired. And so it just hasn't been being done. So we're using that as an opportunity to relaunch and revamp it. It will be a more dynamic version of the newsletter, just four or five things every month. Sometimes it'll be promoting stuff like computer classes or you know, kids programming.
Sure.
But then sometimes I think in our very first newsletter, one of the sections is actually going to be about our Hoopla and Libby and why and what the cost of Hoopla and Libby are, because we recently had to get rid of Hoopla because we just couldn't fit it into the budget anymore.
And that's Trey Gwynn right there. We're already out of time. I didn't realize what time it was.
Well, we got to talking about AI so much. So.
We got another segment coming up in just a second, so stay with us. We'll talk more about the library in just a minute.
This is Peter Demas, and our family's inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. When Kristen said, okay, you know, when we're going to do the remodel, because we're celebrating 35 years... We also wanted to make it more open and inviting, so we made the lobby a lot more open. Booth seats a little bit different colors to kind of still keep it a little up to date. Make it fresh. We wanted to make it cozier, make it a little bit brighter for people to see, to pay homage to where we have been the entire time. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Life changes, then it changes again. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. A job loss, change in health, or loss of a loved one can have a big impact on your family's financial security. Let's work together to help make sure that you're equipped for life's unexpected events. Stop by our office in the Public Shopping Center on South Rutherford Boulevard or give us a call at 615-907-7056 for an appointment. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Hello from the Rutherford County Library System. This is Amanda bringing you library news and events from our five branches around the county and what's going on at your library system. The Rutherford County Library System is pleased to announce the appointment of Luann R. James as the new Library System Director, effective July 28, 2025. With a strong background in public administration, grant writing, and a passion for public libraries, James brings a wealth of experience to the role. She joins RCLS from the York County Public Library System in Fort Mill, South Carolina, where she managed the grant program, system-wide statistic collection, and worked on creating and updating the library system's strategic plan. As director, James will oversee all aspects of library operations, including administrative, fiscal, and personnel management, as well as space and facilities design, strategic planning, and enhancing access to new technologies, ensuring our community can continue to explore, imagine, and engage. And, effective July 1st, 2025, the Rutherford County Library System will no longer offer access to the digital streaming service Hoopla. This difficult decision comes as a result of budgetary constraints that necessitate a reevaluation of digital resource subscriptions. RCLS understands that many patrons have enjoyed the wide variety of content available on Hoopla, including movies, television shows, music, and comics. The pay-per-use model of Hoopla, while offering immediate access without waitlists, has become financially unsustainable at this time. Also note, the Rutherford County Library System Board of Directors will meet Monday, July 21st at 5 p.m. in the main chamber of the Rutherford County Courthouse at 1 Public Square, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And remember, you are not required to be an RCLS cardholder to attend live events and groups or to visit the library. Now let's hear from Lineball Youth Services.
Hello, This is Katie Turner, Youth Services Coordinator at Linebaugh Public Library.
And this is Taylor Davis, Youth Services Assistant at Linebaugh.
Our Color Our World summer reading program has been so much fun, but it is sadly coming to a close.
I'm so bummed out. We have had such a good time, but I'm really pumped about what we've still got coming.
Linebaugh's grand finale party is Wednesday, July 16 from 10 a.m. to noon. We're having a messy art day full of art projects, so make sure you wear something that can get a little paint on it.
Yes, and we still have a lot of teen events coming up. The Teen Creative Writing Club is going strong. We've got the last teen write-in for this summer on Thursday, July 17th from 1 to 3 p.m. We'll have snacks, drinks, and 2 whole hours of chilling with other teen writers as we do creative writing prompts or work on our own projects. But the writing doesn't stop when summer ends. Our Teen Creative Writing Club will resume in August. We hold it every first and third Tuesday of the month from 4 to 5:30 p.m. Teens age 13 to 18 of any skill level are invited to come join us to learn about genre, craft, and to get peer feedback on their work. Keep an eye out as we go into fall for our upcoming monthly Tween Creative Writing Club meetings as well.
And to close out our teen summer programming, we're hosting a happy little escape room on Saturday, July 19 at 2 p.m. Tweens and teens will work together in groups of 6 to heist the happiest little art museum for its greatest treasure. See if you can escape before the time runs out. We'll be taking a break from much of our children's programming for the month of August. In the meantime, Taylor, can you tell us a bit about the Teen Advisory Board?
Katie, I would love to tell you about the Teen Advisory Board. The Teen Advisory Board meets every first Saturday of the month at 3 p.m. and is the perfect place for teens who love the library to meet and discuss how to make it better for teens. Many of our excellent tween and teen programs this summer, like our D&D painting event, creative writing meets, and paint-alongs were brainstormed by members of TAB. It also counts for 1 service hour for teens looking to volunteer. TAB also comes up with a new book display every month with books chosen for teens by teens. Come meet us again in August, where we'll talk about our plans for the fall and winter season. If you're looking for a way to build community and meet teens who are also passionate about the library, come join TAB.
The Lego Club, Teen Board Game Club, Teen Anime and Manga Club, and Reading Pause programs are all still offered every month. For more information about any of Linebaugh Library's programs, please contact 615-893-4131, extension 114, visit our Youth Services page at rclstn.org, or follow us for all of our events on the RCLS Facebook page.
We hope to see you all at Linebaugh.
The Friends of Linebaugh Library invite you to become a member. For over 40 years, Friends has given its support to such library activities as the summer and winter reading programs, the Pen Pals program that brings children's book authors to schools, and the popular Bookmobile. Membership forms may be picked up at the circulation desk at Linebaugh Library, Myrtle Glanton Lord Library, and Tech, or email us at foalintheborough@gmail.com. Once you join, you will receive our quarterly e-newsletter, access to 2 members-only book sales, and an invitation to our local author event. We look forward to your support.
Hello there. This is Dave at Linebaugh Library over at 105 West Vine Street. I'm here to give you the rundown of some of the events that's going to be happening. First up is a Medicare seminar that's going to be held on July 24th at 6:30 p.m. It'll be in the second floor conference room. Just take the interior elevator up to the second floor, hang a left, and the conference room is right there. Are you aging into Medicare? Do you currently have Medicare? Would you like to know the who, what, and why? Please join us for a discussion on these basics of Medicare, July 24th. At 6:30 p.m., second floor conference room. Did you know that gardening's big in Rutherford County? Sharpen your knowledge with Saturdays in the Garden with Master Gardeners of Rutherford County. This takes place the first Saturday of each month, second floor conference room at 10 a.m. On August 2nd, the topic will be native plants and native pollinators. The Litwicks Book Club is a small, informal group. They hold lively discussions with non-judgmental, warm, welcoming book lovers. They meet on the third Thursday of the month at 6:30 p.m. That's the conference room, second floor. Also in this very same conference room, the Tuesday Morning Book Group. They meet on the fourth Tuesday of each month at 10 a.m. They read a mixture of literary fiction, non-fiction, and classics On July 22nd, they'll be talking about the book Human Acts by Han Kang. On August 26th, the book will be The Evolution of Annabelle Craig by Lisa Grunewald. Our sci-fi fantasy book group, The Riverworlders, they meet on the fourth Wednesday of each month at 6 p.m. Now, here's what they're reading: science fiction and fantasy. On July 23rd, The Book of Doors by William Morrow. August 27th, Mort by the great Terry Pratchett. Fans and novices alike are encouraged to check out the Comics and Graphic Novel Book Club at Mindball. Comics and Graphic Novels focuses on all genres of those formats. They're going to be revisiting classics as well as discussing more recent titles. They meet the fourth Thursday of the month in the Lineball Club Room on the ground floor. Come visit us at Lineball Library, not just on these days and for these events, but anytime that we're open over at 105 West Vine Street. Explore. Imagine. Engage.
Hello, this is Kathleen Tyree, branch manager of the Technology Engagement Center, located next to Hopgood Elementary School in Murfreesboro. We have patron art from our Tiny Art Showcase program on display through July. Come see how creative our community is and check out the grand prize winner. Would you like to display a collection at the Tech? Just contact us at 615-225-8312. It's summertime, but Books and Brews and the Sci-Fi Book Club are both continuing throughout the summer. Info is on the book group page of the RCLS webpage. We're enjoying our summer programming, too. Storytime, Science on the Patio, and Popsicle Art Fridays. We're thrilled with the turnout. Thanks for spending time at the public library. Remember, all programs are free and open to the public. Coding classes are continuing over the summer. Work on keeping your brain sharp with Michael Spahn coding classes for ages 12 and up. Details are available on the RCLS website calendar. Mondays 1 to 3, the technology coach is available here at the Tech. Bring your questions and your device. Apple items are the specialty. Concerning the makerspace, the Glowforge laser cutter orientation is weekly on Saturday. Please email to sign up in advance as space is limited. The Tech's 3D print orientation is on the third Saturday in July. Please feel free to inquire about other options, though. We are expanding this program. The sewing machine orientation takes place on the fourth Sunday of the month. Pre-registration is required. It's been very popular, so look for expansion here as well. A quick reminder, though, if you've registered for an orientation but can't make it, please let the Tech know, as there's often a waiting list. Thank you for being thoughtful. We have a new facet of the Adult Maker Group meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, a BYOC, Bring Your Own Craft, meetup. Bring what you're working on, what you've set aside, the hobby that you hope to try. We are all PhDs in crafting, projects half done. Come join us, it's a good time.
Rutherford County Library System comprises six branches and a bookmobile throughout Rutherford County, including Linebaugh, Smyrna, Eagleville, MGL, and Slide Patterson Park, the Technology Engagement Center, and the newly opened Historical Research Center. And remember, all RCLS events are free and open to the public unless otherwise stated. Please check our calendar at rclstn.org and social media for a full list of virtual and in-person programming and events. For a list of all the events you heard here today and more information, please call 615-893-4131 or visit rclstn.org.